Are you the result of millions of years of evolution? Are you the end product of a random set of events? Or is there something far more significant about you? Today on The Wisdom Journey, Stephen Davey takes us back to Genesis chapter 1 to examine what we find there regarding the creation of men and women. Many people in our culture diminish human dignity by viewing us as essentially the evolutionary result of a fortunate accident. The Bible presents a picture of human beings as divinely and uniquely created with the capacity to know, worship, and serve God with purpose. We were created by a loving God, and we're going to learn more about that today. Pray with me as we start. Father, as we open your word to Genesis 1, please show us the truth about where we came from and how you brought us into existence. In Jesus' name, amen. This is lesson 3 in the wisdom journey, and Stephen's calling it the creation of Adam.
I read an interesting story about a computer security engineer in Australia who was in love with the girl of his dreams. He had spent 3 years and several thousand dollars planning his proposal to her. He sent her on a scavenger hunt. Using clues from a smartphone app he'd personally designed, it took her on a journey to all their favorite places they had visited while dating. At each place, another clue would be provided. Well, her adventure ended that night in a restaurant with a beautiful view, and there the final clue instructed her to unstitch her favorite teddy bear from her childhood. Inside it, she found a message that read, "Will you marry me?" And she said yes. But get this, that hopeful young man had actually placed that message inside the teddy bear 3 years earlier. It's amazing how creative people can be when they show their beloved how much they're loved and valued. I can't help but think of the God of creation and how he went to some amazing lengths to show our first parents how much he loved and valued them. As we set sail on our wisdom journey today, we're going to focus on the creation of the first man. Because both the overview in Genesis 1 and the details provided here in Genesis chapter 2 inform us that God created Adam first. And all you ladies can rightly assume that God saved the best for last. And indeed he did. Now here in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 27, the Bible tells us, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image after our likeness.'" Now the details are given over here in chapter 2 where we read in verse 7, "Then the Lord God formed the man of dust," or out of dust, "from the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living creature." Now, there are two key words here to describe God's creation of both the male and female, and the first key word is image. Our triune God said, "Let us make man in our own image." The word image in the Hebrew language refers to an object's shadow. For instance, if you stand with your back to the sun and you hold up a hammer, well, on the ground you're going to see the shadow of that hammer. The shadow is not the hammer, but when someone looks at the shadow, that person knows there's a hammer somewhere close by. So God is intending Adam and Eve to provide the idea that God is somewhere close by. The second key word in the text is the word likeness. God says here in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness." Likeness means resemblance or representation. God created man to represent him and even resemble him to some degree. It's kind of like when my mother used to make a dress when I was young. I'd watch her unfold the pattern out there on the table and cut the fabric according to the pattern. Now, that pattern on the table wasn't the dress, but it resembled, it represented that dress. The words image and likeness then emphasize that the attributes of human beings have been cut out, have been crafted to resemble the pattern of God's character. By the way, animals weren't fashioned in the image or likeness of God. And that's because mankind is going to uniquely represent God with a spiritual nature, that reason, that objective personhood, mercy and compassion, the ability to communicate in depth with one another and with God. Listen, God wants everybody in our world to look at our lives, listen to our words, and see in us the shadow, the pattern of a living, loving Creator God who must be nearby. Now, we're told here that God not only gives Adam and Eve his image to bear, but he also gives them some work to do. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, we read God speaking, "Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." Genesis chapter 2 and verse 15 clarifies that God put man in the garden to keep it. Now, several verbs stand out here. To have dominion means to subdue. It means to rule over. God created Adam and Eve to be king and queen of earth, literally having dominion over their subjects, the fish and the birds and every created thing. Sin is going to take them off that throne and put them in the gutter, so to speak. But God's original intention was magnificent. And by the way, the believer will one day be reinstated as royalty, kings and queens in the coming kingdom, co-reigning with Jesus Christ. The other verb is to work, which means to labor or to serve. It's often used of serving God in worship. There's another verb. The verb to keep means to guard or to preserve. So have dominion, work, and keep all work together to let us know that God not only created Adam, he commissioned Adam to work. Work was ordained by God before sin ever entered the world. Work can be God-honoring even today as we work with excellence. Martin Luther, the reformer, called it vocatio. That Latin word gives us our word vocation. It means sacred calling. Do you know you've been ordained by God to your sacred work? Which, by the way, ought to change the way you think about teaching that class or washing those dishes or performing surgery. That's God's sacred calling he's assigned you to do in his creation. Adam's sacred calling included here in Genesis chapter 2, down here at verse 19, observing, classifying, and naming the animals. Now, God also gives mankind the freedom to choose. Here in verses 8 and 9 of chapter 2, we're told that God not only planted trees for food in the garden, but two very unique trees, the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The tree of life symbolized God's plan for Adam and Eve to never die. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil symbolized their ability to choose between obeying their Creator or defying him. Well, how do we know that? Well, in verses 16 and 17, we're told that the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "You may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." By the way, it's interesting to me that God describes himself in this passage five different times as the Lord God. that combines the name Elohim, which emphasizes power and sovereignty, with the name Yahweh, Jehovah, which emphasizes a personal relationship with mankind. So what choices did this all-powerful yet personal God offer to Adam and Eve upon their creation? Well, the choice to believe that he knows what's best for them. The choice to obey his command. The choice to enjoy fellowship with him or defy him. Have you ever thought about the fact that you've been given the same choices today? You might not be living in a garden, but you've been given the same ability to choose to obey God and walk with God or defy and disobey your Creator God. God happens to love you so much. In fact, he knows you're going to make some wrong choices along the way and sin against him. He's even mapped out a plan of redemption because he knows Adam and Eve are going to choose to disobey him. Well, for today, let me encourage you to work at your job with excellence and integrity. It happens to be your vocatio, your sacred calling. I want to encourage you to trust that the Lord knows what's best for you. After all, he is your personal creator. We're out of time today. Until we meet again, my prayer for you is the same prayer the Apostle Paul had for the believers in Corinth. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
I hope you'll take to heart the challenge Stephen just gave, to trust God and take him at his word, and to obey what we find there. I'm so glad you joined us today here on the Wisdom Journey. Our Bible teacher, Stephen Davey, is taking us on this journey through God's Word, and we're currently working our way through the book of Genesis. The Wisdom Journey is produced by Wisdom International. Our ministry is built on the proposition that God's Word is true, and it's Stephen's desire to teach God's Word faithfully. A listener in West Virginia recently wrote to say this, "Thank you for staying strong in the faith and true to the word. Every message touches me in some way." Well, thanks, Rebecca, for sharing that, and we'd love to hear from you as well. Write to us at info@wisdomonline.org or call us at 866-48-BIBLE. That's 866-482-4253. Join us next time as we continue on the Wisdom Journey.